All right, coming up next is another good guest of ours. He's the Arizona Diamondback beat writer, and I'm sure there's a lot of things going down in Arizona. So let's bring on Steve Gilbert. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, the Diamondbacks finally got a win. They had an eight-game losing streak going all the way back to Oakland. Two games there, and then they got swept by the Giants, and then Colorado came in and beat them three. Then they had the day off. Of course, they honored everyone that day. And then yesterday, they came out swinging. Boy, they came out in the first inning and beat up on Tyler Anderson pretty well. What did you see different yesterday that you saw in that eight-game losing streak?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that they made some adjustments to Tyler Anderson. They said they were going to be looking for some of the change of speeds and trying to make him get a little bit more into the strike zone. They were disappointed with their approach that they took against him in San Francisco. Too many quick outs, too many low pitch innings for him. He was dominant. I mean, he looked amazing against them in San Francisco, and so they were determined to try to make sure they got a pitch up, that they got a pitch in the strike zone, that they weren't nibbling on pitches outside, just outside the zone, like they felt like they did maybe last time. So they were pretty pleased with themselves after last night in terms of the fact that they made adjustments. They're going to have to do that again. Here's Trevor Cahill, who handled them pretty easily in the Bay Area last time.
They sure did. Just both of these pitchers really used a lot of off speed, a lot of movement, and I talked about this earlier in the show. You know, his first outing, he had 21 first pitch strikes. Yesterday, he had zero. And I think what the Diamondbacks did, as you said, they made adjustments in the big league era. That's what hitters do as well as pitchers do. And today, both sides, Trevor Cahill as well as Luke Weaver, we just saw him last Sunday. So both of these guys as pitchers need to make adjustments. What do you see in both of these guys that could possibly make adjustments to this team?
Yeah, it's a fascinating cat and mouse game, isn't it, Bill? I mean, you know,
sure
for the fans, but I mean, you know, it's just who's adjusting to who and who has to make the adjustment. And I think that, again, with Trevor Cahill, they felt like he was getting them to chase a little bit outside of the zone. Trevor's got that great sinker. We remember him well from Arizona. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he gets so much movement on it that he has trouble with his command, but he didn't have any issues with that in San Francisco. So I think they're going to try to see the ball up against him and make him come into the zone. And it sounds great as a game plan, but then you got to actually go out and execute it. And that's often a lot different.
You know, you look
and
at these
Weaver, I mean, Weaver's a guy who took a big step forward last time out against the Giants.
He pitched really well.
He did, and he had a rough start to the year, and last outing was probably his best. I think you can see him starting to get a little confidence. He had a lot of he showed some more emotion, I think, on the mound. I think just all the frustration from his poor outings, you know, kind of all coming out when he finally pitched well. So I think that was kind of a big step for him, and I think he now needs to build on that. You know, it's not just, you know, five innings and two runs or whatever it was last time out. He needs to build on that and not just repeat it. He has to get a little bit better.
Boy, I tell you what, Steve, you're absolutely right about how he pitched. I mean, he had four starts where he gave up seven home runs, and he couldn't even get past the fourth inning. And then he pitched against Oakland. Of course, you guys beat up Oakland really well in Arizona, beating them 10-1 when he pitched really well for him that day. And then, of course, he backed it up in a loss to the Giants. But for four innings, he was spot on. In the fifth inning, he just gave up a couple hits. But I just loved how he maneuvered through the lineup, too. Both of those guys. I'm really, really infatuated with Zach Gallen. He throws the ball so well. And I like their momentum. They get the ball back, go. They get the ball. And I think that plays so much to your defense when you're waiting for the pitch and too long of stretches. And do you see that a little bit more with your starting pitcher?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. It's a function of, it seems to me to be a function of how they're pitching. It's almost like a chicken and an egg type thing. But I think when they're feeling confident, they get that ball and they're ready to throw it. And I think that sends a message to the hitter that, hey, I'm controlling the pace here. I'm in control. I feel confident. I know what I'm doing out here. Whereas if you're taking a ball and you're taking your time, it just comes across as you're not as confident in your stuff. And I think Weaver, his pace was better his last two times out. I mean, they pulled him. He was one of the better starters last year, Bill, until he got hurt in San Francisco in May. And so he came back this year, and he struggled so much in his first two starts that they said, okay, his third start, he's only going to go three innings. it was almost like he was an opener. And that was just a real shock, given just how good he had been for them last year. So to see him now start to get that confidence is something. And Zach Gallen is, I'm still trying to figure out how the Marlins gave up on him.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
He's gone 22 starts now to open his big league career and never given up more than 3 runs in a game. And that's just so hard to do just from a, I mean, not just skill, but even a pure luck. I mean, no one's run into a ball. He's like two for 27, I think, with runners in scoring position. That's hard to do. So he mixes his pitches really well. And he's a guy that when you see him on the mound, I don't know what he looks like to you, but he seems to me to be very confident, and he's a super competitor. You know, even last night, after last night's outstanding outing, you know, he's still kind of kicking himself about the home run he gave up or whatever. He's always trying to find something that he can get better at.
And that's what's great when you look at young pitchers, the focus they have. You know, they give up a hit, they give up a double, and you watch their focus and see if they can just push that off to the next hitter. And he does it very well. I think he's – I don't understand what happened to Marlins, but I tell you what, they gave up a great arm, and the D-backs have him, and he's going to be there for a while. And same thing with Luke Weaver. I like some of these young arms they have put out there. But I want to go into a possible trade weekend, and I know the D-backs have been throwing Robbie Ray out there. I saw where the White Sox were inquiring. A lot of teams need pitching. There's no doubt about it. Are the Diamondbacks going to be sellers, or do you think they're going to maybe be buyers?
You know, I think that if you had asked me the last time the Diamondbacks started out heading to the Bay Area 10 days ago, we talked to Mike Hazen, and he sounded like he was going to be a buyer. And then they lost 8 straight games, and we talked to him just before, I think, the 8th loss, and he was saying, you know, you got to really take a step back and think, is this what we are? Does a 5-game winning streak before the deadline really make a difference in terms of where we're at and making a decision, buy or sell? I think he's more hesitant on the buy side right now than he was. And I think in terms of selling, I don't think it'll be like a fire sale type thing, but I think he'd be open to moving a guy like Robbie Ray or some guys that are going to be free agents, like a Steven Vogt, something like that, that, you know, guys they have that they could move with that are not necessarily long-term pieces of the franchise.
Yeah, it just seems like when you look at your top 10-tier teams, everybody's looking for some kind of pitching, bullpen, starter, back and forth. And the problem is you don't have scouts really relying on their eyes, seeing what's going out there. So you're really looking at reports and looking at films and things like that. How difficult do you think that is from an organizational point in grading players and trying to get what they want and giving up what they can give?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question, because you're looking at some of these guys that are going to be involved in trades, especially if you're talking about selling and getting prospects back, are players that are at teams' alternate sites where scouts are not allowed. So they're starting to share some video from alternate sites and some of the more advanced metrics that come out of those cameras that they have there. But yeah, that's still not the same as seeing guys in actual games against actual competition, you know, and not just intra-squad games or sim games or whatever they're doing at those alternate sites. So I think it makes it a lot more difficult in that regard. And you're going on history, just kind of like they were with the draft, where they weren't getting to see what guys were doing. You know, some high schools hadn't even started yet, so they were relying on what they had seen the year before on some of these kids. So definitely a lot more challenges in this right now with what's going on.
Yeah, I just really challenging to see what kind of moves teams are doing, you know, and I think that's going to be a big prospect. Are you going to give up a prospect? Are you going to give up a young arm or a young body to see a rental player? Because when you're looking at a 60-game season, you might get a starter now. If you get a starter for 3 or 4 starts, you might get a reliever for 10 innings. So when you start looking at the pitching, the problem of them is their contracts, and especially like a Johnny Cueto that's owed $25 million. Those are the guys that I think aren't going to go much. I don't think there's going to be that much of a deal that you can break down with these big name pitchers.
Yeah, because I think, you know, owners are looking at next year, and there's no guarantee that there's going to be fans in the stands on opening day. I don't know where we'll be with the virus or what's going to happen with all of that, but nobody seems to know what the economic landscape is going to be like. So it's tough to take on a contract in those kind of situations, unless you're a team where, you know, a huge market team, whatever it might be. But still, there's a lot of hesitation out there. And so a guy like Robbie Ray, if a team is interested, they look at it and they say, he's really struggled this year. He's a left-hander, throws hard, he's got great stuff, wipeout slider, the hard fastball, but he just has struggled with his command for whatever reason and hasn't been able to figure it out this year.
We're speaking to Steve Gilbert. He's a Diamondback beat writer. And I tell you another thing about Robbie Ray, with no fans in the stands, I never knew he grunted every pitch, and he did that last Friday. And my goodness, my ears on the TV, I'd unmute it sometimes. He was screaming out there on certain pitches.
Yes, we learned that from Zach Greinke. That's the Zach Greinke thing when Greinke was here. It's about pushing air out of the diaphragm or something that's supposed to help your core when you're pitching. But, yes, and I'll tell you what, what's interesting, it's interesting you bring that up, Bill, because in his last start, when he throttled things back a little bit, he dialed back his velocity slightly, and there was less grunting, and he actually seemed to have a little bit better command. So it'll be interesting to see if that carries forward into his next start. But, yes, for sure, those of us who have seen him in spring training games, and he does it during bullpen sessions in spring training, it's very obvious.
I tell you what, Steve, with no fans in the stands, the F word sure flying on that field a lot louder than we expected. But that's what's happening, and you can't take it back from the athlete. The athlete is frustrated sometimes, and I think – those are the emotions that just carry over in a game. But again, I was amazed. I knew he grunted, but I didn't know he grunted every pitch, and it was just like, whoa, he's just getting louder by the game. But it was interesting to watch. He is definitely a competitor, and that's one guy I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are probably taking a lot of calls on, especially as a starting pitcher.
It's hard to pass up, when you have an opportunity to acquire a left-hander that throws hard. Everybody thinks, every pitching coach out there goes, if I could just get my hands on him, I think that I could get that command. And, and worst case scenario, for 30 games, if he's in the back end of your bullpen coming out throwing gas like that, that's not a bad option either. So, it'll be interesting to see what the market's like for him.
Well, I know Giant fans as well as myself want to know how Madison Bumgarner's doing. I mean, we've been waiting for the showdown here with the Diamondbacks and the Giants to get him on the mound. And I know last weekend when I was covering the games, they were talking about him doing an isolated game, maybe a scrimmage. How is he doing, and where is he progressing to?
He is doing – actually, he's going to throw a sim game before tonight's game. So they hope to have a better feel tomorrow or the next day as to when they can reinsert him back into rotation. They felt like one more sim game would probably be good for him, and so he's going to do that today, and then they're going to reevaluate, see how he feels, make sure he still feels good, and then work on reinserting him back into the rotation. Otherwise, I was thinking maybe we might see him this weekend, but they decided to give him one more sim game, and that'll take place today. I think everybody in Arizona is kind of, anxious to see him at his best. They were very excited about that signing during the offseason.
Yeah, that was an exciting point for him, too, knowing that he loves Arizona, and it fit in well for him. And, I think the health of him with lower back problems or stiffnesses will come out. The guy's just in awesome shape and, a competitor plus. And I think that's what Giant fans want to see when he goes up against the Giants. And if that's going to happen, and we might see him next weekend, because I know we got a long weekend again with the D-backs finishing up the season with him. As you look at the season coming forward, what do you see in the Diamondbacks? Is there a hole in the schedule where they may catch fire at?
That's a great question. They got the Dodgers and then the Giants again coming up. It always seems like there's something up there where there's a team like, listen, when they went to the Bay Area at the time, the Giants weren't winning necessarily games at that time. And so they thought, well, maybe they'd have a chance there. And the Giants got hot. They've seen the Padres hot. They've seen the Padres cold. They lost 3 out of 4 in San Diego, and then ended up sweeping them in a 3-game series in Arizona, which was surprising. So it's tough. It feels like it's tough to look at the schedule and say that, just because some teams get hot. But they do have a stretch where they have the Mariners for 3 at home, and then the Angels for 3 on the road in kind of mid-September. That might give them a little bit of boost. But again, who knows where those teams will be at that time.
Yeah, and I tell you what, when you're looking at 14 and 19 and 15 and 19, both these teams are going different ways, and they get hot and they get cold. And just like you're saying, I think the month of September for both of them are going to battle to see if they can get into a wild card position. But I think both these teams have enough to get in there. It's just going to see what this rest of the month of September is going to bring them, because it's a question mark with 60 games, and they still have time to get hot on both these guys. But Steve Gilbert, thank you again for your time today, and hopefully the Giants will knock a 3-game losing streak out and win one tonight.
Well, as long as it's a quick game, I'm okay with whatever happens, Bill. So I'm
Well, Steve, thanks again, my friend.
Take care. Yeah,
we appreciate your time. All right, that's Steve Gilbert from the Diamondbacks, and just some good stuff about the D-backs, and it's going to be a good game tonight as we see Luke Weaver back on the hill for the D-backs against Trevor Cahill. And that game starts at 5:10. You can hear it right here on KNBR. We're going to be right back on the pregame show talking baseball. Marty Lurie is on assignment, and I'll be right back on KNBR, the sports leader.